Welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast, where each week we promise to bring you the latest and greatest in geek news and reviews. On tonight's show, David will discuss Star Wars rumors, weekend box office numbers, and results from the Oscars. Amanda will talk about the return of Game of Thrones, and hopefully all of you got a chance to watch the trailer. Of course, Randy has a fun list for us, and I'm sure we can't wait to argue about it. In video game news, I'll give you a quick rundown on PS4 details. Additionally, we have a fun game to play called Who's Your Baby's Daddy? So sit back and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Geek Legacy Podcast. Unlike our next subject, I'm here with the living, Justin, Randy, and Amanda. So let's get right into it. We're going to talk Oscars in memoriam. Who was snubbed? Justin, go.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Too late. Randy, go.
Phyllis Diller and Larry Hagman.
Oh, beat me to it.
Yeah.
Well, what do we think about that?
I don't know who any of them are.
Larry Hagman. What can you be on? Oh, you don't know who Larry Hagman was from Dallas? JR? Got the eyebrow?
I just know of the television show Dallas. I don't know who any of the characters were.
You don't know who Andy Griffith is?
Oh, I know who Andy Griffith is.
Oh. I was like, woo! Well, what do you think of him being snubbed?
I don't know.
Spot on.
I guess I don't really care.
he doesn't mind, so you don't mind?
Wow.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. Was there any other notable snubs? Those all seem like TV stars to me.
They are. They are TV stars, and there's really no reason to get upset about them not making an appearance in that segment because it's all about the movie stars.
Plus, when did Larry Hagman die? Was it 2012 or...
Uh-oh. What do I look like? Information boot.
It was November 23rd, so yeah, it was last year, I guess. Well, that is just a shame that they would snub them and in their place show a walking corpse in Barbra Streisand.
Oh, yeah, and you had a problem with that, right? Tell us what your beef was with Barbra Streisand.
Why? You said it was boring, but I'm going to bore everyone with it, too.
No, it wasn't boring the first time. It'll be boring to me now.
Yeah. Anyways, the In Memoriam section of the show is usually one of the, you know, the more touching moments of the ceremony, if you can say that, in the 16-hour telecast that is the Oscars. But what they've done in years past is they've had a popular singer. Like last year, they had Jennifer Hudson sing a song. I believe she sung the Bodyguard theme. What?
I said, "Women Beneath My Wings."
The Bodyguards, Our Love Will Go On, during the In Memoriam section, and they would flash on her for a couple seconds and then show like four or five people and then show the crowd crying and like four or five more people on the screen. But this year, they seem to show a lot less people because halfway through, because the segment's usually the length of a song, and this time it was probably the same length, but about halfway through, they switched to Barbra Streisand singing, and they never like cut back to like other people who had passed away. And so it was... The telecast was very long. There was a lot of music in the telecast. There was a whole Bond girl singing and stuff like that. But yeah, it just was kind of weird, and it just didn't seem to fit. And yeah, it was just like they were trying to just cart out Barbra Streisand because Seth MacFarlane's a big, you know, theater nerd, I guess. Don't know. Didn't like it. What's going on in TV news, Amanda?
Now return to our regularly scheduled program.
Well, this week in TV news, we heard from the Arrested Development people that this season that's going to be airing in May is going to be the only season of Arrested Development. Like, they're just going to do these 10 episodes, I believe it was, and the movie, and that's going to be it. Like, Arrested Development will be over. They're setting out to tell one specific story. The TV show, or the Netflix show, is going to set up the movie, and then the movie will just wrap everything up. And I don't know if you guys thought that it would keep going after that. I'm not sure that I thought that it would keep going, but I guess they felt the need to specify, since they what do you call, Netflix's CEO Reed Hastings made a point to make the statement, and then Jason Bateman was also really clear about the fact that the Netflix episodes are just part of, or the beginning part of the story, and then the movie is going to finish the story, and that will be it.
Makes sense, because a lot of the actors are actually working a lot more than they were when the series initially ran, so
right,
getting them all together to do this is kind of a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm. Just these 10 episodes in the movie and everything.
They called it a Herculean task to organize all their schedules.
I bet.
Almost feel like we should shift gears to get back to what we do best, which is hating on stuff.
Yes. What do we hate?
Oh, let's talk about The Walking Dead then.
I loved it.
We can all agree to hate that.
Nope. I enjoyed it.
I don't hate it. I just thought it was kind of underwhelming.
You didn't like when Andrea split that zombie's mouth open on the rock?
I looked away. I didn't need to see that.
All American History X style?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I hated that about American History. I hated that part in American History X.
Yeah, it was gnarly.
It's the sound in American History X when you hear the teeth go on the concrete.
Ugh.
Just thinking about it gives me the willies.
Ugh.
I thought she had a lot of nerve being upset
with Rick?
Michonne.
Oh, Michonne.
Yeah. And I'm glad that she put her in her place. Like, you know, you chose a warm bed over a friend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
that was like the most Michonne had talked, and it was poignant and full of teeth.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time we've seen like more emotion than just fury or disdain.
Right, because Andrea's really the only person presumably opened up to. You know, we didn't see any of it on screen, but
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that, you know, she must have cared deeply for Andrea. She nursed her back to health and all that stuff, so I'm sure she felt incredibly betrayed by Andrea.
Yeah.
Because she's a no-good hussy.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping her way to the middle.
The whole thing with Carol? When Carol was talking to Andrea?
Oh, yeah. She was like, bang him and then kill him.
Right. Like, she's just standing there, like, they're cooing over the baby, and she's like, you know, just, you gotta sleep with him and give him the best night of his life and kill him while he's sleeping. And I was like, whoa, damn, Carol. She's just so matter-of-fact about it.
Maybe put the baby down before you say stuff like that.
Traumatize a baby. I was surprised that, actually, that Andrea even thought about it.
I don't even see what her problem is. I don't understand why she's so torn. Here's a guy that was murdering people and putting their heads in fish tanks. Like, she doesn't owe him anything.
Right.
I really don't get it. He was gonna, you know, he attacked her friends.
Yeah.
He ordered them to be, you know, the crap beat out of them. And he ordered Merle to hunt down and execute Michonne. So, I mean, what's her problem? He's been lying to her since day one. She's just a doucher.
Yeah, the sex is really good.
I was going to say, I'll let Randy field that question. Usually this is when he lets us know about the double D.
All I'm going to say is sex can make you do some crazy things.
But yeah. She ain't gotten none in a while.
Yeah.
This powerful guy comes in. He's like, hey, look, hail to the chief.
And you got to figure that he's probably a lot cleaner than most of the other people that she encounters, too. You know, pretty much everybody in that little town is a whole lot cleaner than people living out in the woods or in a dirty old jail.
Yeah. Whatever.
I got to think the BO's got to be pretty rank. And, you know, you finally meet a guy. Sure, he's kind of dominant, got some issues, but damn, he smells clean. He smells like Old Spice. What are you going to do? You're just going to spread him.
Nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah. She is a slave to her needs.
What other show we got going on?
So, you know, Supernatural was picked up for another season. And apparently they're going to make Misha Collins a regular on the show.
That's exciting.
What's
that? He plays Castiel. He's an angel.
He was a guy.
Yeah, he was a series regular. Yeah, Misha might throw you
off. Oh, yeah.
he was a series regular in season five and six. He came on the show in season four, and he was like a recurring character. And then he became a series regular in five and six. And then he was barely in seven. And he's coming back now in eight. He's starting to show up a lot more. And then now he'll be a regular again in season nine.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
I like guys with girls' names.
I think he's actually going to direct an episode, too, next season.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they do that. One of the co-stars, Jensen Eccles, he's directed a couple of episodes as well. Fun stuff for Supernatural fans.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
There's some rabid fans, Supernatural fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe how long that show's been on.
Dude. Me neither. I had no... Remember, I don't even know what the hell it was until Comic-Con.
Right. That lady next to us.
Yeah.
We were in line at Comic-Con for Fringe, but everyone in line was for Supernatural and Doctor Who. And, like, the star of Supernatural, like, ran by, and no one knew who he was except this lady by us. And she's, like, freaking out. Cool.
Yeah.
Woo. And if you're a fan of all of these new Supernatural dramas and, like, fantasy dramas, ABC is going to invest in another Supernatural show called Gothica that is going to center around a female version of Van Helsing, I guess. And
I hope it's based on the Halle Berry movie Gothica.
No. And it's gonna be like a present day take on stories like Dracula, Jekyll and Hyde, and Frankenstein, and, you know, the gothic supernatural literature.
I don't know. It seems like we're deviating away from zombies for a little bit and going this fantasy fairy tale route.
Right. And, you know, apparently ABC's doing really well Once Upon a Time, so I guess they're doubling down and starting another show. And Grimm apparently has done pretty well, too. I'm pretty sure it's coming back for a third season. I don't really care for this premise. I'm not sure it'll be any good. And I've never heard of any of these people. Who's going to play Van Helsing? What's her name? Janet Montgomery? No one's heard of Janet Montgomery? Okay. And Chris Egan, who's going to play Dorian Gray, and Tom Ellis, who's going to play Victor Frankenstein.
Well, Janet Montgomery's pretty. Does that count for anything?
Yes.
I don't know.
I like pretty.
I mean, television
isn't pretty.
No.
I don't know. I'm sure
that's not like a character actor.
I'm sure there's some.
Everybody's pretty, Dave.
In their own way. Well, this one just happens to be pretty on the outside.
I hated that movie, that Van Helsing movie with
Hugh Jackman.
Ugh, I thought it was terrible.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the end for Scott Summers.
Who?
The director. He directed Mummy and the second Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Van Helsing and then the G.I. Joe movie.
I like the G.I. Joe movie better than Van Helsing, I'll tell you that much.
I like everything better than Van Helsing. I remember being so excited seeing Van Helsing in the theater.
Yeah. You know who was in it was that David Wenham guy. He was...
Benny?
What? No, he was... Boromir's brother. Faramir?
Small world.
He's cool.
He is very cool.
He was one of the 300 in the movie 300.
Who was not Leonidas.
Correct. He was the one that lived to tell the story.
Because he lost an eye.
Yeah.
The good Lord blessed me with a spare.
Wasn't he in...
Yes.
Lord of the Rings, too?
That's what I done told you, woman.
The echo in this place?
Sorry.
He was Boromir's brother.
I got distracted by Oscar stuff.
This is our daughter Dottie. This is our other daughter. Dottie's
Tank Girl was on the other day, speaking of Dottie's sister, Lori Petty.
That movie is so bad.
With Ice-T as the kangaroo dude. Oh, yeah. You couldn't make that movie if you tried nowadays.
You know, Gina and I saw that in the drive-in.
Yeah, I feel sorry for your car.
Yeah, it was gnarly. Naomi Watts is in that movie, though.
Yeah, she is.
She was like Jet Face or something. I don't know, something like that.
Lori Petty did two good movies and like 30 bad ones.
I like In the Army Now, and I like...
Okay, she did three good movies.
And I like the baseball movie there.
League of Their Own?
Yeah. And...
What you like Point Break.
Oh, yes, Point Break. That movie's badass.
And that's about it for the Miss Petty.
She is cool, man. Yeah, Point Break.
Yeah, not so much in Tank Girl.
Good stuff. Yeah. She had the short hair. That was kind of her trademark, huh?
It was kind of her thing.
Not everybody can pull that off.
No. Very few, actually.
You know who looks good with short hair was Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks good all the time, but even with like a shaved head, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the few that could pull it off, I think.
Take your top off.
I don't know. Something amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
It's from Incredibles.
Wow.
Just so that I talk in movie quotes to each other. What else you got going on, Amanda?
That's about it. I was going to talk about Castle, but I haven't actually watched it, so I can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
I keep hearing that... Ability.
Huh? Oh, well, okay. So, I know that... I keep hearing about how it was such a great episode, and it's a part of a two-parter that the second part aired tonight, and it involves Castle's daughter being kidnapped.
Oh, that's cool. Something different. Is that why they're having all those episodes about her... going on vlogging and telling so much information personally?
I don't know, maybe. But I was under the impression that her kidnapping was more of a being in the wrong place at the wrong time sort of thing, rather than because she's Castle's daughter.
It should be like college stalker stuff, because that shit happens.
Yeah. But I actually don't know what the circumstances were. I haven't gotten around to watching it, so.
You're our TV expert.
I know, but I'm terrible.
You should do nothing but watch TV 24 hours a day.
You can't expect her to watch everything.
The entirety of the TV lineups.
I'd rather go to sleep.
Including Honey Boo Boo.
Don't you watch Castle?
Gross.
I do, but since I saw last week was a first part of a two-parter, so I saved it so I can watch them back-to-back.
Wow, good thinking.
Yeah, I tend to try to do that just so I don't frustrate myself too much.
You're good, you.
I get like easily agitated, you know.
Good stuff.
That's it.
Wait a couple weeks for the Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, Game of Thrones.
Oh right, I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah,
we just
watched the trailer.
We can. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think of the trailer?
Excited.
I like how at the end, with what's his face, his voiceover, and talking about how like you know you'll have your revenge. And it's just like panning over everyone's faces and it's like, well, who are you talking about? Everybody here wants revenge.
Mm-hmm. I like how the dragons are finally grown up.
Thank God, finally. Yes, dragons.
Yeah. Blood and fire.
It's gonna be boring. Like season two.
No way, dude!
Season wasn't boring.
Yeah, book three's got a lot of action, man.
I agree. I'm looking forward to a couple key events. Don't get me wrong.
Like, it hits the fan in
yes, it three. Does.
And I don't, even if they cut it in half this season, like, and only do, like, whatever, the first 450 pages, we're still in for a pretty good treat.
Yeah. I think they're going to jump around and they're going to end at the first event.
I'm okay with that.
And I'm more than okay with that. That's a great finale.
Yeah, that's a throw your remote at the TV kind of finale.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hardcore.
Can't wait.
Yes. Yes. When it happens, I'm going to be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I forgive season two.
I don't think season two is that bad. And I mean, I think it has a little bit too much Theon Greyjoy for my taste because I can't stand that douche.
Oh, he was annoying as hell.
Yeah, he's just in it way too god dang much, but...
Like, okay, so the Starks pretty much took you in and raised you, and now you're going to be a douchebag to them.
That's what he does, dude.
I see.
Make his daddy proud.
He's ironborn. Salt and iron.
He's not.
You cannot kill what is already dead.
Yeah, and this only gets worse. The Greyjoys get so much bigger in them.
Yeah, but the one Greyjoy that...
The damp hair?
Victor or whatever, the one that's like got the axe and he's like a pirate that just splits skulls like crazy.
Plunders.
I forget his name. I think I want to say it's Victor, but I don't remember, but he was kind of a delight.
He's a bit of a delight.
I don't know. He seems like the, out of all the Greyjoys out there, he seems like the cool one. And especially since they renamed, what is her name?
Asha
Greyjoy?
Something. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. She could have been fun, but not that I'm really one to judge, but I'm not particularly in love with that character or actress, but whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I read the character to be a little bit more attractive, but I think that I might just wanted to read that because maybe she is portrayed to be just kind of one of the guys, but I don't know. For some reason, I thought she was a little bit more like, ooh, look at me. I'm a pirate.
I had a similar reaction while reading it as well, Justin. You're not alone.
Okay, cool.
And then, well, the problem with book three, too, is that we get Jaime, but when you have Jaime, he's with Brienne.
Right. And she's just not cool, man.
She's a whole lot
what?
Of...
What?
I mean, I get the whole girl power thing, but... She just drives me nuts, especially in book four with the whole "I'm looking for a mate to pet too."
What? I don't remember this travel. At all.
Yeah, she pretends that she's looking for her sister, who's a maiden of 10 and 2, and she'll be traveling with a fool.
Oh, she's not that, like, trying to find
every
what's 5 seconds.
Sansa.
Yeah,
that's a big pass.
Sansa's that young?
In the novel, she is.
Yeah. Jon Snow's only like 16 or some shit in the books.
Bran's like 8.
9. 7. Okay. 7 when it starts. It was the 9th summer. It was the 9 years of summer, and it was Bran's 7th year.
So they've all been aged a couple years, which is fine.
Yar.
Mm.
Go with it.
Can't wait.
Mm. Oh, and the trailer was pretty exciting. The music, FYI, for people that like the music, it's by Miss Mister, and the song is called Bones. Just throwing that
good
out there.
Song.
Yeah. The album's actually only like $3 on the iTunes store. It's got like 4 songs. But it's good stuff. Is that it for Game of Thrones? Since we can't talk about anything?
I just want to shout at the top of my lungs what's going to happen. Like, every time I talk, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, it's like, the biggest event in, like, I would say all 5 books so far. And after that, it's just downhill.
Yep.
You get the snooze fest of this Feast of Crows and kind of disconjointed Dance with Dragons.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know, man. I really liked... What's funny is... I really liked Dance with, or A Feast for Crows once I finished it. But reading it, I wasn't really into it. But once it was over, I was like, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well, it ended nice with the whole Cersei thing. But, I mean, it was just kind of a lot of...
I don't know, man.
Lots of curtsying.
We'll have to talk about it later. There's just some moments that I was like, oh, that's cool. And I always read these books like late at night. And I remember just being, like, all giggly. I was reading it on my laptop, and my screen was, like, jiggling because I had it on my belly, and I was laughing. I couldn't even read because my screen was shaking so god dang much.
I don't remember any funny parts.
Well, I laugh at everything. I laughed at Magnolia. I thought that movie was hilarious.
Are you a big fan of Rain and Frogs?
I just like other people's misery.
I get
true story.
It's good stuff.
Now your infatuation with Game of Thrones all makes sense.
Yeah.
Would it kill him to make a list of little happiness in his world?
Yeah.
Just a nugget of happiness.
There's some.
There's none.
Were you not smiling at the very end of Dance of Dragons? That was like the best. The last chapter was the coolest part of that whole book.
No. Are you talking about the wall?
Oh, not that. The second to last chapter. The part in King's Landing. Oh my god, I'll text it to you. Oh man, it was badass.
What's going on in the world of video games? Justin, have some video game news.
Last week, we were hit with the big announcement about the PS4. And, of course, we had our podcast dedicated to that announcement. And some things have kind of come to light since then. And I just want to go over those really quick. The PS4 will have playable content on the floor at E3, which is exciting news for all of us, because we'll probably be there. The DualShock 3 is not supported. However, it will play used games. So I know people were worried about the used game factor. Not an issue. The system does not require an always online internet connection. Sony is aware that not all gamers are social, and some folks out there choose to be the antisocial type, and that's their prerogative. In fact, Bobby Brown was ahead of his time and wrote a song about that.
Britney Spears covered it.
I'm pretty sure he wrote it whilst doing lines of coke off his baby, but that's neither here nor there. Also, Blu-ray will remain to be the primary format for the PS4. I know that all the talks about the cloud service and downloading games, people were kind of concerned if that was going to be one of the main ways of getting games, and the focus is still on discs, obviously. So those questions are answered now. Yay for that.
And they're all answered in the right end. They're all answered correctly.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. It is a little sad that the DualShock 3 is not supported, but with all the features that the DualShock 4 has, I understand it, so that's cool. Especially since it's not exactly backwards compatible, then what difference does it make?
Right.
But I can't imagine how much that controller is going to cost with that whole sensor thing going on, but who knows?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Well, maybe they're counting on people not being at your house. You're gaming with them while they're at their own goddang house on their own goddang PlayStation 4.
Right. They pay for this. They got to play in my house.
Yeah. In next box rumors, according to a post by William D'Angelo, not to be confused with Beverly D'Angelo, of VGCharts.com.
I'm glad you cleared that up. I was just thinking, what's Mrs. Griswold up to?
She's... not a whole lot, actually. Anyway, the next generation Xbox is set to be unveiled on April 26th. Now, this is obviously just a rumor, and apparently it was just tweeted by Rob Crossley, whoever the hell that is, and apparently he knows a guy who is one of his trusted sources. And, of course, the date can change, but VGCharts.com seems to think that this is reliable enough to print. So, April 26th, that'll be just over 2 months after the Sony announcement. So, yay for next box rumors.
Insert Bruce Willis saying, "Welcome to the party, pal."
Exactly. Are we all fans of Kingdom Hearts?
I am.
We play those games?
It's a good time.
Yeah. All right, well, Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix will be coming to the United States this fall. Originally, that was a Japanese-only release. It added new missions, weapons, enemies, and a new story element to the game. The upcoming HD version will include remastered textures and trophy support, so yay for that. The remix will also include an HD remaster of Chain of Memories, which I believe bridged the first two games. That was that one that was kind of, I think it was on the Game Boy Advance or some shit first, and then
yeah,
it got ported to PS2. So that's kind of cool. We all like Kingdom Hearts. It's fun.
Very much.
We're all Disney fanatics. In other news, the Injustice Battle Arena. We all got to watch the video on Friday, right? The first fight was Aquaman versus Cyborg. I believe Randy was the only one that took Cyborg.
Yeah, if I knew what some of his special moves were, I may have voted differently.
Oh, man. I dug that. I think it should have been a little bit more graphic, though. Like, he bit him in half, and there was, like, a twitchy leg or something, but whatever.
His eye slowly turned off like the Terminator.
That would have been cool. I dug it. But Cyborg did have some moves. Like, he was able to, like, that one shot where he shot high, then shot low. I don't know if that was just something that he does. It's hard to dodge, but that was kind of gnarly. It seemed like it was, like, a twofer every time, where he would always shoot up and then shoot down. I don't know.
Yeah, he seemed like a pretty fun character to play.
And then matchup number two was Green Lantern versus Solomon Grundy. And I think we all took Grundy for that one, and we all
lost.
We
did.
We all lose.
That grabby hands move that he had, though? That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was, like, totally doing Depeche Mode as soon as I saw it. I was like, grabby hands, grab all that count. But he lost.
He did. It was a bummer. Lost to the Green Lantern. Ryan Reynolds was the Green Lantern, for crying out loud.
Grundy is an undead son of a bitch that ain't worth a damn.
Ain't worth.
Do you know?
Ain't worth the plot of dirt you put him in.
Stupid.
This was used, man.
It was used. Big time. In the WW dose. So this week, we have a new matchup. We have Superman versus Sinestro. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Sinestro, he is part of the Green Lantern universe. He's sometimes good, sometimes bad. Right? Like, he's more or less his nemesis, but he's got his moments in the sun, though, correct?
Correct, yeah. He's Green Lantern's arch nemesis, but he used to be a Green Lantern.
He was his mentor in some way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like the Green Lantern. He's the Darth Vader of the Marvel Universe, or the DC Universe.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate.
But yeah. Nowhere near as cool.
Yeah, nowhere near as cool.
But Superman, whatever. He's got the speed, he's got the strength, he's practically invincible, he's got the super breath. Inserts breath mint here. He's got the laser eyes. Got the x-ray vision so he can see what kind of panties Sinestro's wearing.
Superman's going to take it, hands down.
Oh, I was wondering whether Superman is considered an immortal or not.
No, he's just an alien. He ages just very slow. He's like Wolverine, just ages real slow. We don't know how long he'll live. You know, who knows, maybe he'll end up being thousands and thousands of years old.
He's, like, virtually indestructible.
Yeah. I mean, he grew to an adult and then stopped growing.
Yeah, I was going to say, he grew to an adult, like a normal person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flaw in the show.
Well, because you got to, like, whenever you deal with, like, people who, like, are immortal and stuff like that, they age normally to a certain point because that's, like, the height of evolution is, you know, that you mature to a certain level. And so that's why... You know, people are like, well, why was he a kid for only a certain amount of years? You know, the body matures to a level, and then once it reaches its, you know, plateau, it stays there. There's been a couple stories where he aged, and that was pretty cool, like the Kingdom Come storyline and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's amazing. You'd love it. It's not just about him.
I don't love anything except my wife and my cat.
Well, it'll make it easy for you to pack with the apocalypse then. You're like, oh, I just have to pack these two.
Yeah.
I think Superman's going to win.
Dave, who do you pick?
I don't even think there's, like, an option. Does anyone think that Sinestro... I think the fight should be, like, 5 seconds long and Superman should just kill him.
Just punch him in the dick straight into space?
Right, as hard as he can. And then he takes his ring and he's like, now I got your ring, too.
Yeah. That's pretty...
He's going to end up like the Mandarin. He's going to have all these rings on his fingers.
Superman should be like in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, where you just get hit once and you're dead.
Super punch.
Yeah. Yeah. To the dick.
Oh.
Match number two is Green Arrow versus Hot Girl.
Hot Girl, all the way.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
She can fly. She's strong.
Yeah, but Green Arrow is a hunter, and hunters shoot birds.
They do.
Hot Girl can fly. She's got super strength. She's got that. She's got her mace.
Yeah.
She's you know... An immortal, you know.
She's got thighs the size of tree trunks.
Right. You kill her, she's just going to come back in 100 years and haunt your, you know, descendants.
Forward to that. I don't know, man. I might have to take Oliver Queen on this one because I watched the show Arrow.
I, too, am all caught up on Arrow, and I'm kind of interested a little bit. I'll get behind Green Arrow for this one.
Do not care.
What? Pick Hawk Girl, then.
Fine. Big Hot Girl.
Like, ah!
I mean,
Because he doesn't really have any superpowers, right?
Either is Batman.
Oh, that's true.
But you're still probably going to pick Batman when his round comes
lamer,
up.
He's like a lamer version of Batman. What's new this week in movies, Dave?
Well, this week in movies, there was a little show you might know of called the Oscars. You know, because we talked about it already a little bit, but, you know, now we're going to talk about it for real.
Oscar.
Yeah. It was about the length of three of any of the movies that are nominated. It was about, started at 5:30 is when the bulk of it started, and ended a little before 10:30. So that's 5 hours for 15 awards.
Ugh.
There were, I believe, 126 musical numbers, and the nominees for the 2014 Oscars were announced immediately following the 2013 ceremony. That's how long it was.
Nuts.
Hand of God.
I like the movies that haven't even come out yet.
That's right. An entire year's worth of movies came out at the time the Oscars ran.
That's crazy.
The big winner for Best Picture was Argo, which was most famous for probably being the biggest snub as far as Ben Affleck goes. But at least he got an Oscar for producing Argo. He gave a very touching speech about, talking about what a wash-up he used to be, and about 15 years ago, he won this award, didn't have any idea what it meant. Then he let fame get to his head, and now he knows what's important. Very touching. YouTube it. It was good. Made his wife cry, yeah. But it was kind of awkward when he was talking to Jennifer Gardner, because he made it sound like they were having, like, marital problems or something. It's like, this isn't really the stage to air that. I'm sure we were looking too much into it, but it was just kind of funny.
Like, the part when he was, like, I don't remember his phrasing, but he was talking about, like...
Like it being a battle.
Yeah.
Like, but I only want to fight with you. It's got to be your bull.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was kind of funny.
Marital problems is funny.
Yes, it is.
As long as it's not your marital problems, right?
Other people's marital problems. One of the bigger surprises was the Best Director Oscar. But...
So, yeah, I'm shocked.
I'm shocked, Cotton. Ang Lee won for Life of Pi, which was a good movie, but I think most people thought it was going to be Spielberg for Lincoln once Ben Affleck wasn't nominated and Catherine Bigelow wasn't nominated. But Ang Lee won. He actually gave a pretty good acceptance speech as well. You can understand about four words of it, but it was fun. Best Actor went to Daniel Day-Lewis for playing Abraham Lincoln. He became the first person to win three Academy Awards for Best Actor ever. So that's kind of cool. And he gave a pretty good speech, too. I'm surprised. All these people giving good speeches. I'm sounding like a broken record here. Did you guys see Lincoln, or am I the only one here?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see it still.
I saw it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Long as all holy hell. but it was really good. You know, it's kind of like a lot of Schindler's. A lot of Spielberg's big emotional film, like Schindler's List. Like, you're glad you saw it the one time, but you'll probably never watch it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty long.
It's not like the same kind way of movie. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I felt the same way about Life of Pi, too. I mean, completely different tangent, but that's one of those movies that I saw it once. I don't think I'll ever need to see it again.
Yeah, I think it's good that Life of Pi won a couple awards. It's kind of an important movie in that, you know, everyone bitches that Hollywood just regurgitates these, you know, these mega blockbusters and sequels and spinoffs and all this stuff. And, you know, this year we got a couple of really unique movies in Life of Pi, or even with Cloud Atlas, which unfortunately didn't perform, you know, nearly as well. But it was good to see that, you know, people recognize, you know, good filmmaking, even when it's not just a sequel. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't love sequels. I'm already in line for episode 7, but, you know.
That's where you're podcasting from right now.
That's right. Podcasting from the corner of Pico and somewhere. Another smaller surprise was the Best Actress went to Jennifer Lawrence. Everybody's favorite Mystique from X-Men First Class, Katniss from Hunger Games. But she won for Silver Linings Playbook, which is actually a pretty good movie. I think most people thought that Jessica Chastain was going to win for Zero Dark Thirty, but she didn't. This goes to show the Academy doesn't like gingers.
Aww.
And then Anne Hathaway won for Best Supporting Actress.
Brandy's favorite.
Did you guys see her Oscar dress? There's a lot of controversy about the side boob and the nipple slips.
Yeah.
No.
So people are going nuts about that. More exciting, Best Supporting Actor went to Christopher Waltz from Django Unchained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he is I think he should be in every single Tarantino movie, and I'm sure he will be. And speaking of Mr. Tarantino, he won Best Original Screenplay. That was his first Oscar win since he won the award for Pulp Fiction way, way back when. That's it for the big awards. Seth MacFarlane did a pretty good job. He had a couple of musical numbers, and they opened with a Shatner and him opened with a salute to sing Oscar winners' boobs. Like, I've seen your boobs. It's you should definitely check it out on YouTube. It was a pretty funny skit.
And you got to see Shatner wearing the old school Trek uniform, which was pretty badass too.
Yeah, he was wearing a red uniform. Real quick, the quick rundown. There was a lot of fun little stories. You know, most things didn't want to break any news near around Oscar time because it would just get lost in the shuffle. We're starting to get a lot of fun new rumors about casting. James McAvoy might star in the remake of The Crow, so that's always exciting. We got some new images from Carrie, from the movie Carrie. Some new images from Iron Man 3. Some new images from Hangover 2.
Hangover 3.
What'd I say?
2.
Was it supposed to be
6?
So you can check all. You can go to geeklegacy.com and check all those out. Matthew Vaughn's going to produce the Fantastic Four reboots. All good news that you can see on geeklegacy.com. All your favorite geek news and reviews. That good stuff.
When is Fantastic Four supposed to come out?
They don't know yet. They're just going to make one.
I actually like the first one.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I like Doctor Doom in the first one.
It's clobbering time.
The thing, but you also liked Hulk. So
I like the one with Edward Norton, but no, I thought the first Fantastic Four was fun.
Yeah, it had its moments. I don't think it was. I don't think there was anything bad about it. Just
what do you think about that though? About, like, for example, Chris Evans. No. Playing two different superhero characters, Johnny Storm and Captain America. Can you wrap your mind around that, or does it take you out of it at all?
Check when you watch out it? With the Johnny Storm. 2 points for Randy not going Human Torch on that one. I'm impressed, Randy.
I like Fantastic Four. I'm sorry.
They're getting a whole new cast for the reboot, but I don't mind because Fantastic Four is 20th Century Fox. Captain America is Marvel.
I'm just talking about, you know, your just the overall movie, because I'm sure, because I know Justin likes the first one. You might go back and rewatch it at some point in time. Just curious to see how where your mind's going to be, knowing that young man goes on to become Captain America.
I thought he was a delightful Johnny Storm, and I enjoyed the movie. In fact, I meant to watch it over the weekend when that news kind of came out about a new Fantastic Four reboot.
Mm-hmm.
But it totally slipped my mind. I got hooked on a Game of Thrones / Supernatural binge and totally forgot about it.
Yeah, I like Chris Evans. I think I like him in almost anything he's been in.
Pretty much,
but anything else.
You see that one movie where Keanu Reeves is like a cop and he shoots a bunch of other cops?
Like Street Kings?
There you go. Chris Evans is in that.
Oh, he is? Yeah, I didn't see that. I like him in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah.
He's Peter like, guy?
Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, I don't like Chris Evans. Johnny Storm. Randy, 2 points.
Good looking dude.
He is. He's an attractive man.
Yes, he is.
He's Captain America, too. So, I mean, that's always a plus. Right, Justin?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, real quick, box office. Identity Thief was number one with $14 million. Snitch, number two. With $13 million, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. A little bit under what I'm assuming they wanted out of a Rock movie, but it's a little more gritty than he normally has. Number three was Escape from Planet Earth. Number four was Safe Haven. All the way down to five was A Good Day to Die Hard, making only $10 million, bringing its 11-day gross to $51 million. So it's not looking so good for a six Die Hard movie, which I'm fine with. that's all there is in the movie news. Check out the site for anything I might have missed, or just keep up, because usually what happens is everything breaks the second we end this podcast.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be a ton of news as soon as we say, good night, guys, and then it's like news everywhere. It's like poop.
I think you're doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'll look into
that. How to use the three seashells.
You have to know how to use the three seashells.
I was just making a Demolition Man reference earlier today.
So, hey, Randy, what you got going on?
Well, I got a fun little list for us, and it goes right into what you were talking about, since it's also Oscar-themed. Now, it's not a traditional top 10 list ranking 1 to 10. It's just some facts, and what I'm going to be dropping on you guys is the top 10 Oscar record holders.
Ooh, so, I like that.
Yeah, we're going to dive right in balls deep here. And we're going to go with the most awards won by a film, and it's a three-way tie. Ben-Hur, Titanic, and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Can you tell me, any of you, how many Oscars they won?
11.
Justin got it. This isn't even the game, but you're winning already.
Yeah. I think they were nominated for 13. Or at least Titanic was nominated for 13.
Yeah, but Lord of the Rings is nominated for 11 because they won 11 for 11.
Titanic was 14 nominations.
Oh, there you go.
Looks like Ben-Hur was 12, and Return of the King got all 11 it was nominated for, which is huge when you think about it.
I killed it at that Oscar party. I'm like, yeah, Lord of the Rings all the way!
With the Titanic one, they were interviewing the guys that did LA Confidential. And they're like, you know, Titanic's supposed to steal this thing. How do you feel about that? And he goes, well, Titanic was also supposed to make it to New York, and we all know how that turned out. I was like, wow, you're my hero. That's cool. Continue with your list.
All right. This one's really, really huge, and I had no idea. Most awards won by an individual. You guys want to take any guesses?
I know the answer to this.
All right. Go ahead.
Walt Disney.
And how many Oscars?
29.
Wow.
Yeah.
Walt Disney. Holy crap. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he won a lot of like best shorts, though. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't matter. He had like six
Oscar
nominations.
You know? Yeah. You can't disrespect the little gold statue. Oscar is an Oscar. All right. Most awards for best direction. This is an old one. You may not guess, so I'm just going to go ahead and
John
give it to
you. John Ford.
Dude, I think you're cheating. But yes, it is John Ford with four
Oscars. I took
appreciation
of cinema in school.
Well, you have amazing recollection abilities here. All right. Can you tell me the most awards for acting?
For acting? It's Katharine Hepburn.
You're right. Four Oscars.
Meryl Streep's the most nominated.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's up there.
She's lost the most.
Yeah.
All right. Can you tell me how many movies won the Big Five?
I know. I can name two of them, but I think three have.
It Happened One Night, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Writing. Those are the Big Five categories. So it hasn't happened since 1992.
Yeah.
All right. The first woman to win Best Director.
Catherine Bigelow.
Yep, Hurt Locker, 2010. All right. First African-American to win Best Actor.
Sidney Poitier.
Yep. Lilies of the Field, 1964. First African-American in general to win an Oscar.
Ah.
This one is in the history.
The big history of cinema.
They took her from Gone with the Wind. It is, yeah. Hattie McDaniel from Gone with the Wind, 1940.
I never got the name.
Oldest person to win Best Actor.
Jack Palance.
No, Jessica Tandy, 80 years old for giving Miss Daisy back in 1990. Yeah. And we already, you guys already mentioned this, but most nominations for acting, as you know, Meryl Streep, 17 nominations.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's my list there.
It is time for our game. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
Okay.
I am ready.
Here's the way it's going to work. It's called Who's Your Baby's Daddy? And what's going to happen is I'm going to read you a list of traits that a little boy or little girl has adopted from their father. And based on those traits, you're going to try and guess who the father is. However, you are not allowed to guess until I say the words, who is this baby's daddy? Okay?
Do we guess at the second you say who, or do we have to wait for you to finish saying who is this baby's daddy?
I have to wait until I finish.
Well, this doesn't favor us speedy ones.
First one. This little boy is fearless. He loves treasure and doesn't care what he has to do to get it, including swinging from vines over crocodiles, quicksand, and deep dark pits. Who is this baby's daddy?
Pitfall Harry.
It is Pitfall Harry. That is correct. Randy gets that one. Number two. This little guy seems to go into fireplaces quite a bit and rolls around until he's covered in ash. He wears really short shorts and curses at Zeus all night long. Who is this baby's daddy?
Kratos?
Yeah! This baby girl walks around wearing an eye patch and yells, "Tiger! Tiger! Tiger uppercut!" whilst beating the shit out of anyone standing in her way. Who is this baby's daddy?
Suck it.
Very good.
I don't even know who that is.
This little boy is already rocking a mullet and bandana. He likes to play hide and seek and for some reason thinks a cardboard box is the best place to hide. Did I mention the kid already smokes? Who is this baby's daddy?
Solid Snake.
Randy got it. Solid Snake. Very good. What did you say, Dave?
I was going to say Parappa the Rappa.
Okay. All right. This baby is a hairy little beast and loves taking pretty girls up to high places and throwing barrels at anyone who disturbs them. Do yourself...
Donkey Kong.
Hey, we got to wait. I knew it too, but we got to wait. There are rules here. This is not Nom.
Do yourself a favor and just leave the bananas at the bottom of the ladder. Who is this baby's daddy?
Donkey Kong.
I think we should disqualify that question, probably.
Okay.
Fine.
God, wait, Amanda. All right.
Throwing off the mojo.
Yes. This little guy wears green all year round and is a natural when it comes to playing the flute. His mother gets used up all the time by his daddy whenever he's feeling weak or near death. Who is this baby's daddy?
Link.
Very good. Dave wins. 3, 2, and 0.
Yeah! What a fun game. I brought us into this world. I need someone to take us out of this world. Like that show from the 80s where Evie touches her fingers together and freezes time. Uncle Troy?
That was Beano.
Oh, no, sorry. Troy Uncle was Beano. The dad. Yeah Troy was Beano. The dad. The candy dish.
Oh, man.
So bad.
It's not worse than that show Randy made us watch. I thought that'd always be a cool power. Freezing time.
I would do so many terrible things if I had that power. I would abuse it. I would become a supervillain.
I'm like, you do terrible things, so you don't have that power.
Exactly. See, all it takes is a little bit of power, and it would corrupt the hell out of me.
Just a little push.
Yeah, that's all I need. I just need the nudge. Give me a little power. Give me the glow.
I could totally see you being a super bad supervillain, Randy.
I would be like Nuclear Man. I will hurt people.
All right, well, that's it for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thanks for joining us. And as always, visit us at geeklegacy.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And, share your thoughts about everything that happened this week. Bye.
Like, what would you do with Evie's powers? Info at geeklegacy.com. Send it there.
Woo!